there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday. It is going to be Dan and Kyle in the morning. We'll run through every single game from this weekend. But first, as we do every Friday, let us begin with our good friend, Dr. David Chow, over from ProFootballDoc.com. Find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Busy day for you, Doc. Thank you for fitting us in.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. I found a nice supply closet for you at the surgery center.
you crush it. I love it. I love when you all your different backgrounds. I have the same one, unfortunately, here. But let's start with last night's game, Doc, and Baker Mayfield, who was inactive. And then there's this report that in addition to the, you know, dislocation, he's got a humerus fracture. Do you think Baker Mayfield is going to be able to play through this for the rest of the season?
I do. He's got to wake up his rotator cuff. And if people are interested, we won't bore people on the podcast. So you can go to my Twitter timeline. I actually finished a surgery that's very similar. Recurrent dislocation, high-level rugby player, not a football player. And he's got the labral tear, a little chip, and then the fracture in the back of the humeral head. And I show some pictures of it. It's not very bloody, but, you know, if you're squeamish, be a little careful. And we did some video on the timeline, too, of why we think it is realistic that Baker can play versus the Steelers in 10 days from now on Halloween, and why that's less of a scary proposition than many people think.
All right. Good to know then. So somebody who we don't have a lot of info on, it's a Monday night game, so we may not even know today, is Alex Collins, who played well last week, but then had some sort of, I've heard hip, I've heard glute. I don't know exactly what it is. Did you see anything on video that might give us any insight as to what exactly this injury is and if it will limit him going forward?
Yeah. And so looking at the video, obviously missed the last bit and overtime and the whole deal, but looked at his plays and runs and did not see anything significant for his hip or glute, which gave us optimism. But then now he shows up DNP groin. And if it's a groin muscle, we may not see it on video. So I was actually kind of optimistic about him on Monday, because if you don't see it on video, perhaps it's not that bad. But now that it's a muscle injury, I'm less optimistic. We just got to wait and see a little bit. And obviously, from a fantasy perspective, you got to prepare with the Monday game.
Yeah, that definitely puts fantasy managers in a bind. And if they have anybody close, as long as he is not ruled out before then, they probably should opt to play him. How about Tyreek Hill, Doc? He did play last week, despite the fact that he missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday and then was limited on Friday with his quad. Now, he was in and out of that game a little bit there, but, you know, he did play the vast majority of it. He has missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday so far this week. We don't have the practice reports yet today. So just overall thoughts here on what Tyreek Hill is dealing with his quad injury.
Well, it's been said to be a quad contusion with maybe a hematoma where he needs to be drained. Maybe there's a quad strain component. Look, a mere mortal would probably be out, but Tyreek Hill is so good and so fast at less than 100%. He's still very effective. Look, if I had the luxury of having Tyreek Hill on my fantasy team, I'd play him. I guess, I mean, he's Tyreek Hill, right? I mean, be it DFS or something else might be a different story depending on cost. He's probably, you know, we are, you know, at the website going to lower his grade on the six score, the SIC score. He was in the 70s. He'll probably be in the higher 70s, low 80s. So not 100% at this point in time, but he's Tyreek Hill in the end. And look, I would love to have him on my fantasy team. My fantasy roster is so depleted, you know, with injuries, ironically, but we're hanging in there record wise.
That's all that counts, no matter how you do it. How about Antonio Gibson here, Doc? Again, he's got the stress fracture, as they've said, in his shin. And he played last week, but he was in and out of that game. Then he had the MRI on his, quote, lower leg. I don't know if we've gotten any clarity on it from what I've seen. So he's questionable right now, Doc, for this week. The Washington football team has put out their reports. He is questionable with the shin. Assuming he plays this week, which you can correct me if I'm wrong, that's what I'm assuming. Do you think he can be effective right now?
Well, we talked about it a little bit, right? Stress fractures are not going to heal in a week or 2 weeks or even after a three-week short-term IR. It's something he's going to have to deal with. The best case scenario is he plays through it, gets some rest, has limited carries. Kind of what he's been doing is the best case scenario. That's the ceiling. The floor is IR and needing surgery. So, you know, the every week he gets out there and plays and produces is another good week. But there's no uphill for him in this season. Like Tyreek Hill is going to get better. Christian McCaffrey is going to get better, right? But this one is just hang on to what you got and hope for the best.
So this is something, Doc, that I harp on every time because of what you have said. And I have listened to you. And I, for fantasy managers out there, if they're listening, I would hope that he plays well in any particular game, and then I would try to trade him as high as I possibly could, because as you said, this is not something that will improve as the season goes on. How about Julio Jones, Doc? We don't know yet. I haven't seen the practice reports yet for the Titans today. I was just absolutely assuming that he was going to be out, considering that he had missed time. He came back, and then he aggravated the hamstring injury last week. But then he got in a limited practice. You say all the time, limited practice might mean one play. So who really knows here? But based on what you saw, at least last week, and what you know about Julio Jones and his injury, do you think there's a chance he can suit up here this weekend? And again, assuming that when people listen to this, let's say he's ruled out, do you think it's a long-term thing?
Well, you're right, Dan. Anytime there's a setback for the same original injury, right, that usually means an absence is coming. Look at Kadarius Toney. Look at, you know, left tackle of the Giants. Look at a number of people. Anyone, look at Christian McCaffrey. Anytime there's a setback, you know, for the same injury, that means a more prolonged absence. Now, maybe the only hope is Julio Jones felt some tightness in a hamstring. He was questionable, pulled out as a precaution, and he didn't really have a setback. That's your only chance where you're trying to thread the needle. Otherwise, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of dubious on what he's going to be able to do this week.
Yeah, for me, even if he suits up, he's probably somebody who I would try to avoid just because I wouldn't want to deal with the headache of potentially, you know, missing time in the middle of it. Last one, Doc, a guy who is not going to play this week, but I'm hoping you'll tell me you think is going to play next week. And that is Dak Prescott, who's been playing wonderfully this whole year. Injures his calf at the last play of the last game that he played against the Patriots here. Doc, calf injuries scare me, and maybe it's the whole Mike Trout thing that, you know, where you wound up missing the entire season there in baseball. But do you think, based on what you saw, that Dak Prescott is going to be able to play in week 8?
I do think he's going to be able to play, and there's different degrees of calf injuries. There's Mike Trout, but also, you know, there's Nick Chubb with a calf is different than Dak Prescott with a calf. If you think back a few years ago, Aaron Rodgers hurt his calf in December. Yeah. I said, careful, it's going to linger. And he played all through the playoffs and did very well, but he turned down all running opportunities, right? Now, I don't think Dax is that bad. We don't have our six score yet out for the week 8 game, but I think it'll be actually relatively high. But going back to Julio Jones, when he played this week on Thursday, we were saying his six score was SIC score was only 59. In other words, production lower and chance of reaggravation. And unfortunately it happened. So that's my guesstimate at this point. for Dak and his SIC score right now. Of course, we'll gather more information and see how he moves at practice, is probably in the high 80s. You know, so okay. I think he's going to be okay to play. And obviously from the pocket should still do very well.
Love it. That's exactly what fantasy managers want to hear. Doc, Doc, thanks for fitting us in very quickly. Tell everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
Yeah, profootballdoc.com. And if you want to go to the Twitter handle and you want, you're curious about what the inside of a shoulder might look like in the Baker Mayfield situation, check that out and look at the videos there.
All right. I'm a little squeamish, but I'm going to do it, Doc, just because I have so much respect for you. All right. That's going to do it for this segment with Dr. Chow. We're going to get into our game by game breakdown with me and Yates in just a second. All right, guys, time for Dan and Kyle in the morning. What is up, Yates? How are you on this fine Friday morning?
I'm good. It is chilly here. Here in Michigan, it is currently 40 degrees, and I was not prepared for that this morning, but it's nice, man. We're starting to see the colors change here in Michigan, and of course, fall in Michigan is just absolutely beautiful. So we're starting to get into that weather. Feels like it's football weather. I'm excited to be here.
Fun fact, when I woke up, I saw you and a lot of other people on our Slack channel talking about how cold it was. And I obviously live in the Arctic, so I just assumed it was cold. And if you are watching on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, you can see me in our Fantasy Bros hoodie. And apparently it's 65 degrees here today, which I just didn't realize because I woke up and saw those messages. And so I'm going to be sweating through this entire podcast.
Well, and we never leave our houses. So
that's true. That is true. Yes, it's bad. But whatever. I don't care. I'm ready to podcast. Let's do it. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. Of course, despite the fact that there are a bunch of teams on bye, which probably means I can slow down a little bit with my cadence instead of rushing through everything. But regardless, let's talk about the fact that we're giving away a signed Justin Jefferson helmet. You must know how to enter our contest by now if you're listening to this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Just leave a review for this show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to submit your review. And if you are subscribed to that YouTube channel that I just mentioned and you want to see me sweating through this entire podcast, go to youtube.com/fantasypros.
Who wouldn't?
Everybody does, of course. That counts as three times the entries. There is no reason not to do that whatsoever. Also, I hope you guys know about the My Primer feature. Okay, Yates, as you guys probably know right now, Yates and Pat are splitting the primer right now for the remainder of the season. They touch on every fantasy relevant player, give you a ton of information. And with the My Primer feature, that lets you see it for just the players on your team. It's totally free and it's really amazing. I remember actually when they told us that they were going to be introducing this feature, and I use it for my leagues because obviously all my leagues are synced to my playbook, and it's really awesome, gives you a ton of information. All you got to do is sync your league for free at MyPlaybook, fantasypros.com/MyPlaybook, and you get the My Primer feature. It is awesome. All right, Yates, before you get into it, as always, we are going to begin with the Over Under Challenge that is sponsored by Caesars. You know what it is. It's 10 fantasy point over unders that Yates and I go through. Again, fantasypros.com/challenge. Huge prize offered by Caesars by the end of the contest entirely. Two nights stay at a Caesars Las Vegas resort, determined by Caesars, plus airfare. There are also weekly prizes. Again, fantasypros.com/challenge. Yates will begin with Patrick Mahomes at Tennessee, 26.6 fantasy points.
Whew, that's a high line. But who did you say they're playing?
Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, I'll take the over.
Yeah, I don't know what this line would have to be to entice me to take the under, but it would have to be much higher than it is right now. Matthew Stafford against Detroit, 23.4.
Oh, who are they playing?
I believe they're playing Detroit.
Oh, revenge game here. Return of the Mat. I will take the over.
I'm really completely buying into the revenge game narrative, by the way. Like, I am very tempted to make Matthew Stafford my number one quarterback this week. I will not be doing it. Everybody relax. I mean, Derrick Henry, doesn't matter, man.
Just 21.2. Take the over.
Take the over as well. Cordarrelle Patterson against Miami, 12.4 fantasy points.
This seems like a low line for Cordarrelle Patterson and what he's been doing so far this year, so I'll take the over.
His receiving yard prop, by the way, I talked about this on the Betting Pros prop video that I do. It's like 39.4 yard. I don't understand why everybody still thinks that Cordarrelle Patterson is not for real, but he is for real. I will go over this one as well. Miles Sanders at Las Vegas, 11.1 fantasy points.
Oh, I've gone over up to this point. I will take the under here. I just can't trust Miles Sanders to do anything more than, what, 9 fantasy points? I'll take the under.
I'm going over, Yates. I think this is the week. I think they figure it out, and they give him the rock, and they let him score a touchdown. Debo Samuel versus Indianapolis, 15.4 fantasy points.
I like the line here. I think it's a really good line. I will take the over slightly.
I'm going to take the under. That's a high line, man. Like, I love Debo, but 15, once you get to 15, that's like really something that scares me off. Brandon Cooks at Arizona, 12.9.
Again, another good line. I will take the under here slightly.
As will I. Terry McLaurin at Green Bay, 13.7 fantasy points.
Oh, I would love to take the over here with Terry McLaurin, but based on what we've seen here recently, I can't do it. I will take the under slightly.
Me too. It does sound like he's going to play at least, but it is a little worrisome here. I hope he gets going. Mike Evans versus Chicago, 13.2 fantasy points.
This depends on whether or not Antonio Brown is going to suit up. So if AB plays, I think that Evans will... I'll take the under there, but if Antonio Brown sits, then I will take the over with Mike Evans. So as of right now, I'll probably... Yep. I don't think he's going to suit up, so I'll take the over.
I think that's right, actually. I think if he's out, I'd go over. If he's in, I'd go under. Mike Gesicki, last one, versus Atlanta, 10.4 fantasy points.
It's a high line for a tight end, but I will take the over. Mike Gesicki should soak up targets here. It's a fantastic matchup.
Yeah, I remember after week one where I was like, man, we can drop Mike Gesicki. Now he's an absolute locked-in, right, must-start tight end. All right, Yates, as guys, you know, it's Friday morning. We don't know the practice reports. We will guesstimate for what we can do, and we will give you caveats either way. But let us begin with last night's game, Browns 17, Broncos 14. It begins and ends with Ernest Johnson. Yates and I were joking a little bit before just about how impressive this was. I know the Broncos are injured at linebacker, but still 22 for 146 on the ground with a score at a 22-yard reception. So, Yates, I mean... we can break down just how good he looked last night. But the big thing for me is that Kareem Hunt's going to be out here for a while. Mm-hmm. The Browns don't have their bye till week 13. So this is not something where you're even like, all right, well, they're going to get that week. It's a long stretch right now until maybe Kareem Hunt comes back here. Even when Nick Chubb comes back, which I'm hoping is going to be next week, do you think Johnson has carved out a role for himself as sort of the second guy in the backfield until Hunt returns?
Yeah, I definitely think based on what we saw from last night, we got to say that he's carved out a role. I mean, this was amazing what he did. And we went into this week saying like, all right, you know, D'Ernest Johnson, he's a volume play. He's going to get a ton of work. The matchup's not great. The offensive line is banged up, the entire offense, you know, backup quarterback, everything. Everything signaled that we should at least be very cautious here with D'Ernest Johnson, who we really haven't seen a ton in the NFL. And he ends up with 146 rushing yards. And it's not like that came on one big play that he just happened, like it was a breakdown in run coverage or whatever. Like he and he managed to get a like 90-yard run or something like that. No, like he looked impressive the entire game. So I think D'Ernest Johnson, yes, he has carved out a role. Now, we just need to adjust our expectations because when Nick Chubb is back, he's going to receive the majority of the work. And 10 days off now, I do think that we're going to have him rested and ready to take on that workload. I think he'll be back in week 8. But D'Ernest Johnson has flex appeal now because he's going to take that workload that Kareem Hunt was seeing. And I think that he can now, he's proven that he can produce with it. So yeah, D'Ernest Johnson moving forward until Kareem Hunt comes back, I think he has some flex appeal week in and week out.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they have Pittsburgh next week, you know, and then Cincinnati. It's not exactly the greatest schedule or anything coming up in the short term. But regardless, you mentioned it, this was not sort of a fluky like, whoa, he broke off and, you know, right, an 80-yard run. And then he just kind of, at every time he touched the ball, he made something happen every time. And, you know, he would run into the line. And part of this was the offensive line played great. And again, we talked about the injury to linebacker here for the Broncos, but still, he made some of those jump cuts, man. It's incredibly, incredibly impressive. I don't know anybody who would bench him in their league in a short week at all in a must-win game and is basically wants to vomit this morning. That person should not be hosting a fantasy podcast. Anyway, that's really all there is, though, for the Browns. I mean, your leading receiver was Austin Hooper with 42 yards. Jarvis Landry does return. He gets involved, 5 for 37. Looks like he injured his knee or his foot late, but he sounds like he's okay. Odell Beckham Jr., that's really the only other guy I think to talk about.
Yeah, we got to talk about him.
Yeah, of course. He does fight through. You know, he was iffy coming in. He's going to give it a go. Plays most of the game, 6 targets, just 2 catches, 23 yards. You mentioned it. I think you had a tweet about it. Everything just goes wrong for Odell Beckham Jr. in every game. So how do you evaluate this guy going forward?
I don't think we can play him anymore. I think that this week was something where we could consider him because of just how few other options there were, right? Like we had to at least consider him because we probably didn't have many better options on our roster. But I wanted to ask you, right now, is Odell Beckham Jr. a waiver wire grenade? Where if we just drop him, that he's going to be someone that like other people are going to pick up based on name value. They're going to put him in their lineup and he's going to continue to do what he's done, you know? And it's not like, okay, well, it was the backup quarterback. When Baker comes back, everything's going to be sunshine and roses. No, it's like he hasn't even been producing with Baker Mayfield. So I just don't know what to do with Baker, with Odell Beckham Jr. At this point, I might be considering just dropping him and avoiding this headache.
So I think a couple things. Number one, I mean, yeah, I'm sure Baker's going to, you know, do his best to sort of play. But everything I'm seeing about this injury suggests like this is probably something where he's not going to be able to play the rest of the season. Like he is, it might be his decision whether he tries to opt, but there's rumors he may opt for surgery. So you may be down Baker Mayfield for the rest of the season. Case Keenum, again, perfectly adequate backup quarterback. Right. He can fill in a pinch, but it certainly downgrades everyone. Look, I that term, and I know people do it, and I know that's not what I do, because I feel like if I try to do that, that's to me overmanaging, where I'm like, haha, I'm going to sabotage somebody else.
Right,
with this.
Right.
But I do not, I will be frank that I do not believe that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to really be someone who you can start rest of the season. So I'm fine if you do that. I think right now, if somebody's in a pinch, like this week, Gates, with all the bye weeks, the fact that you needed somebody, people had to make some hard decisions, right? And if somebody came to me and said, can I drop Odell Beckham Jr. because I need a running back this week and I have to make that swap, I would say yes now going forward. So to that extent, yeah, that's where he goes.
Meanwhile, I'll chime in super quick too.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
If you are going to do that, you're listening to this and you're just completely done, which I completely understand. If you are done with Odell Beckham Jr., do not drop him until after the NFL trade deadline, which is November 2nd, just to make sure that he doesn't get traded somewhere else and then we potentially see his stock increase. So
I mean, is it the offense though, Yates? Like if he gets traded somewhere else?
I don't know.
He, you mentioned, like, you know, what did he do, you know, last night in a span of a couple of, you know, minutes?
Yep.
He fell down.
He had a drop route, pass right? in the first half. He had a drop pass. He had an illegal formation called where he was covering up the tight end on the line of scrimmage. And then he had, he stumbled out of a break and the ball hit him in the hip. You know, it's
right.
Like, yeah. So yeah, nothing literally is going right for Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland.
Yeah, I can't imagine they trade him, but you know, who knows? It doesn't matter. And regardless, by the way, there may be somebody out there who might want to quote buy low. People always think that, ooh, this is a great opportunity. So, I mean, at least put him on the block and
sure.
See if you can get back anything, you know, yep. What you want. Get back a defense, or if you want, if you're just going to drop him anyway. Meanwhile, Donovan Peoples-Jones, just a very deep kind of sleeper this week that people were kind of excited about. Maybe not as much when they knew Beckham was going to be active and Landry was going to be active. He, unfortunately, is active and then hurts himself in warmups and then doesn't
I couldn't get him out of my lineup. I couldn't. I had
Did
him
you
in
have
one
him?
Spot. I had him in one spot yeah. as a flex in a deep league, a 14-team league, and I had him there, and then I got the alert at 8:22.
Yeah.
And was like, fantastic.
No, he's yeah, lineups I think were locked. He was in there.
That's yep.
the absolute worst possible thing. For the Broncos, it's not pretty, but both running backs do score receiving touchdowns here. Javonte Williams overall, 10 touches, 52 yards and the score. Melvin Gordon, 10 touches, 32 yards and a score. Melvin Gordon's probably listening to this, Yates, because we know he follows you closely. I don't know. Any thoughts about the running backs here? It wasn't pretty, but, you know, they both kind of produced somewhat from a fantasy perspective.
There's really not much to take away because they each receive the same amount of touches yet again. It's a 50-50 split, and I think it's going to be that moving forward. So hopefully towards the end of the year, we can start to see Javonte Williams take over. But man, you just got to set these guys as low-end RB2s, high-end RB3s every single week and just hope that they come through.
That's exactly right. You just have to accept that this is the situation. And Melvin Gordon, by the way, has been higher graded, at least coming into this game on PFF, than Javonte Williams all season. This is just what it's going to be. I know everybody wants him to break free, but he's not going to. But they still both make startable options each and every week. Meanwhile, Cortland Sutton catches all five of his targets for 68. A couple of great catches there for Sutton. Noah Fant, 7 targets, 5 catches, 39 yards. Jerry Jeudy should be back next week against Washington. So I don't really know if there's a takeaway here, Yates, from this. But let me know if there's anything you want to discuss here with the Broncos receiving core.
I think I got a lot of questions this past week about Tim Patrick and as far as what we do with him moving forward. Now, Tim Patrick, obviously only 2 for 16 this past game, so not a ton to take away there as far as his fantasy value. I think once we see Jerry Jeudy come back into the lineup with the way that Teddy Bridgewater is looking here recently, I don't think that there's going to be a ton of value for Tim Patrick or even Cortland Sutton. Like, I'm concerned about Sutton with Jeudy coming back into the lineup. I think it's going to help the offense and we could see more overall plays ran because they'll be on the field more. But man, I'm kind of concerned if this target volume doesn't increase and Teddy Bridgewater doesn't improve, which at this point we can't bet on happening, then I mean, it's going to be Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant as a low end tight end one, and Cortland Sutton is what, a mid range wide receiver 3 moving forward?
Yeah, I think the KJ Hamler injury really, really hurt the offense more than kind of we understood.
Yeah.
Because I just think, right, him being able to kind of open up some, you know, intermediate routes there for those guys. Kind of, you know, Sutton's awesome, an incredible wide receiver. He can make things happen. But you saw, like, Yates, there was no wide open wide receiver almost at all throughout that entire, throughout that entire game. They needed somebody to open things up. Maybe Jeudy helps in that regard, but I agree with you. You know I love Tim Patrick, but I think, unfortunately, Patrick probably at this point, given the offense, given Jeudy coming back, probably not something that I'm going to be able to rely on. All right, we'll get into this weekend's games. We're going to start with the Chiefs against the Titans. But first, let's talk about Prize Picks. We just did the Fantasy Pros Challenge, the over-under challenge, where we are doing fantasy point over-unders. You can do fantasy props just like that if you want over at Prize Picks. Again, your fantasy knowledge, turn it into cash just like that. You pick 2 to 5 players. That's all. We did 10 on the Fantasy Pros Challenge. Pick 2 to 5 players. That's all you got to do. Decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. You can do fantasy points if you want, but if you're playing football, you can do anything you want. Touchdowns, receptions, yards, anything like that. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times the amount that you wager. You can do multiple sports. Basketball is back right now, so you can do a basketball prop with LeBron James in points and Patrick Mahomes in passing yards if you want. You can combine them. It's pretty awesome that way. Make your entries in less than a minute. 4.8 rating from the App Store. Take your game to a new level with Prize Picks. It is daily fantasy simplified. You want to get a little extra in there? Use our promo code GRIDIRON. You get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Titans visiting Chiefs. Is that right? It's a home game for the Chiefs, right? Or is it a home game for the Titans?
I don't know.
Why am I completely losing my mind over the fact that it's tomorrow? We talked this morning, Yates. I was like, basically, and yes, the Titans are home. My apologies. The Chiefs are visiting the Titans. Goodness, I'm fine. All right, let's start with the Chiefs. Well, how high do you have Darrell Williams ranked this week, Yates, in a week where obviously we've got a lot of teams on bye anyway, but you've completely bought into what he did last week?
It's pretty high. I have Darrell Williams at RB7 on the week because of the scoring opportunities. And we're going to see the Kansas City go up big in this one. And so I think because of the state of the Tennessee defense. So I've got Darrell Williams at 7. The scoring opportunities are absolutely there.
Yeah, this was the optimal version of what we could have seen. And we can talk when Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets back, what exactly it looks like there. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, Travis Kelce, who's been limited in practice, but I don't think there's anything to suggest that he will miss. Tyreek Hill, Yates, again, he missed. He's been in and out of practice over the last couple of weeks here with the quad, but he was in and out of the game here with his quad injury. He has not practiced yet this week. Maybe he will today on Friday, and that will be sort of similar. So if Tyreek Hill starts, of course you are starting him. How about Mecole Hardman? Does it matter if Tyreek Hill starts, and where would you have him if he does not start?
Yeah, so right now I've got Tyreek Hill slotted in as if he is playing. So I think that we're going to, you know, even if he misses today's practice, I think he's going to be fine. I think he'll I think he'll play. But I've got Mecole Hardman with Tyreek Hill in the lineup at 33 in my wide receiver rankings this week, just because, again, the other options that are available. But then the matchup, like, there is a possibility that Mecole Hardman has a fantastic game here. So got him at 33. If Hill misses, I honestly might move Mecole Hardman up to a top 20 play this week, just because, again, the other options, not a ton of fantastic options with so many teams on bye, but the upside is absolutely there. So, yeah, I think Mecole Hardman belongs in starting lineups regardless.
I'm absolutely 100% there with you with everything that you said. I have him at 34, so we are right there together. And I agree, basically top 20 if Hill has to miss this game. Again, you'll know more than we do by the time you listen to this. I expect Hill to play, as do you. He is my wide receiver 3, as I always look forward to. Am I going to put Cooper Kupp 2 and Tyreek Hill 3, or am I going to put Hill 2? Right now he's 3, so we'll see that. But you start him, obviously, if he goes. Nobody else for the Chiefs, right?
No.
Okay, for the Titans, again, A.J. Brown is dealing with the illness again. It's a digestive thing, apparently. I don't know if it's still the food poisoning or what, but we expect him to play if he does. Julio Jones got in a limited practice, I guess, on Thursday. I'm not expecting him to play yet. Are you?
I'm not either. Even if he does play, though, we just don't have the guarantee that he's going to play the entire game, right? There's the possibility that he re-aggravates that injury. So I would probably put him at around, like, wide receiver 36. I mean, you're looking at guys like, are you going to play Julio Jones against Kansas City, or are you going to play Corey Davis? You know, like,
right.
Hunter Renfro, AJ Green, who are the players that you're deciding there? That's probably where I would slide him in.
Yeah, I'm going to fade him compared probably to all those guys. It's like the upside is enormous, of course, against Kansas City in a shootout. But there's no way I would feel remotely comfortable that he's going to make it through that game, given the fact that he was battling the injury, he came back into that game, and then he couldn't finish it. I'm going to be shocked if he suits up here. If he does not suit up, can I assume, based on what we have seen in the past, that you still, despite the high total, have no interest in any other Titans wide receiver other than Brown?
No, I don't think that you can trust him. Any of like Chester Rogers, Westbrook-Ikhina, like those guys, you cannot trust them whatsoever. So they are dart throw plays at best, desperation plays.
If you do not have Derrick Henry as your RB1 this week and going forward, I don't ever want to talk to you again. But how about Ryan Tannehill here? And again, doesn't matter if Julio Jones suits up.
I think that it does matter a little bit as far as where exactly we're going to slide Ryan Tannehill in, but I mean the matchup, man. Like, we got to play Ryan Tannehill this week. I've got him at 8 currently, so he's just someone that you have to play this week. With AJ Brown back, I'm assuming that he's going to play. You know, I don't have any concerns about the illness whatsoever. So with Ryan Tannehill, you got to play him. It's Kansas City.
Absolutely. I agree. I also have him at 8. We're even in the desperation week. We're a no on Anthony Firkser, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Very good. Washington football team visiting Green Bay. You're starting Aaron Rodgers. You're starting Aaron Jones. You're starting Devontae Adams. Are you benching Robert Tonyan, or is the landscape so bleak that he is getting close to a start here?
No, I mean, he's within my top 20 just because of how few options there are, but I'm not looking his way. He's done nothing this year. You were right on this one. Robert Tonyan, he should have been dropped a few weeks ago.
All right. You talked about on the Start Sit show earlier this week, AJ Dillon. So just remind everybody, how do you feel about him coming into this week?
I definitely think that he's someone that you can look at as a high-end RB3. He's getting enough work here, and especially where we're looking at guys like Michael Carter, Khalil Herbert, if Damian Williams sits up against Tampa Bay, you know, like these other guys that are probably going to see around the same amount of work, but the matchups aren't as great. Whereas with AJ Dillon, he's seeing 10 to 15 touches every single week, and the matchup's good. So I think that AJ Dillon belongs in the starting lineups this week if you're desperate.
I completely agree. In a week like this, I mean, he's got, what, double-digit touches in 3 straight weeks? I mean, he is getting involved right now. And I mean, I know not this last game, but before that, he was even factoring into the passing game, which is something I said, that's the one thing we can count that is not going to happen. But he looks good when he touches the ball, and there is room for both in a game where the Packers are favored by over a touchdown. For Washington, Antonio Gibson returned to practice. I have major concerns long-term about Gibson for sure. I'd be hoping he has a big game here, and then I would sell if I could, just because I don't think that stress fracture is going to get better for the season. But for this game, Yates, not a terrible matchup. Where do you have Antonio Gibson ranked?
I currently have Gibson, assuming that he plays and assuming that he gets a full practice in today. I've got Antonio Gibson at 11 currently on the week. There's just, you know, you got to play it, Antonio Gibson. Yeah.
Okay, so for me right now, I mean, I with him being limited, if he gets a full workload in, they're like, he's going to go, I'll move him way up. Right now, I have him at 18 just because I'm nervous, obviously, is what we've seen. But I do think that that's the right spot for him. You have to. It's annoying, but, you know, you can obviously run on the Packers. We want to see the big game from Terry McLaurin. He's been quiet now for 2. Is he a wide receiver 1 for you this week?
He's in that range. Terry McLaurin, I definitely don't know if he has, or I don't know if he has the upside to finish as a top 5 option, but I still think that he's going to bring a safe floor. So I've got Terry McLaurin at 9 on the week. I feel like extremely comfortable playing him. He's just one of these guys, especially when we get down further. Like, I've got DK Metcalf at wide receiver 13 on the week, you know, and I have my concerns about DK Metcalf. So you got to play Terry McLaurin this week if you got him.
I think that's correct. Basically, once you get outside, like even into the low teens, you start getting nervous about these wide receivers this week, just because of, again, of how many teams are on bye. Okay, Yates, we learn that Antonio Gibson is a full go. He gets in a full practice today. He's going to get his full workload. Are you starting JD McKissick this week?
He's still worth considering because of how few options there are. So I've got JD McKissick currently at 25 on the week. If we get a full practice, and these will move and these will shuffle just a little bit here. But assuming that Antonio Gibson gets a full practice in today, we get, you know, like you said, the qualifications there, then I would probably move JD McKissick down to probably 28, and I'd move AJ Dillon up to 27. You know, like that's probably where I would slide him in at. So he's definitely still worth considering because I do think that he's going to see some work. And the matchup is good for opposing running backs. But JD McKissick in a normal week probably wouldn't be looking to play him, but in this week you can.
Yeah, how about Ricky Seals-Jones? Just a must start tight end this week.
At this point, I think you have to. He returned to practice as well yesterday, so I've got him at 10 on the week. I think that he is absolutely in starting consideration.
I'll mention it, Yates. Again, I think that Antonio Gibson is going to go here because he did at least get into practice on Thursday. So I'm not really expecting him to be inactive. If somehow he misses the game, what would you do with Jarrett Patterson?
Okay, so I talked about this on the Discord stages. A lot of people are really into Jarrett Patterson if Antonio Gibson misses. And I honestly don't think that that's going to be the case because you look at Jarrett Patterson and his skill set and his size, he's not someone that you immediately plug into Antonio Gibson's role on the ground and give 15 carries to. At least that's not what should happen with his size. So I think what would happen here, I looked at their practice squad. They've got Jonathan Williams on their practice squad, and I think he's listed at 217 pounds. So I think that we would see Williams called up if Gibson misses, and he would be that like Peyton Barber replacement, right? Like not going to be efficient, but he's going to get a ton of work and he'll get the goal line opportunity. So a lot of people are really excited about Jarrett Patterson. I think he is more so a JD McKissic replacement than he is an Antonio Gibson replacement.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens there. We're probably not going to find out right now anyway. Interesting to have that take. I think for me, for a one game set, Patterson would probably be the guy here. Long term, I think you bring up a good point. I don't know whether or not Patterson could, frankly, hold up to the role. But if it's just a one-game thing, I think they'd be okay with sort of rolling with him. Let's get to the Bengals visiting the Ravens. Of course, we were starting Joe Mixon. Out of curiosity, where do you have Joe Burrow ranked this week, Gates?
I've got Joe Burrow inside my top 10 quarterbacks on the week. I've got him at 9.
Yeah, I'm fading him a little bit. And really, I mentioned it on the kickoff of the solo pod that I do, that I've looked at a couple of guys who I faded, based on consensus. And Burrow, I have a 12. Like, I'm still starting him. I think it's just like, I don't know, man. This strikes me as a hard-fought, divisional, angry game that's going to be a little bit more of a defensive thing than most people are thinking. I can't even quantify exactly why I think that. I mean, maybe I'm influenced by the fact that the Ravens just completely shut down Justin Herbert last week, a week after getting completely torched by Carson Wentz, right. But who knows? He is a start for sure. How about the wide receivers? I mean, Jamar Chase is an obvious guy, but what about T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd here?
All three of them, you got to start. So I've got T. Higgins at 22 on the week, and then I have Tyler Boyd at 32. Normally, I would not be looking at Tyler Boyd. I've been fading him all year. But with Tyler Boyd this week, this is a game where I think that Cincinnati is going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. And that means that they're going to need Tyler Boyd. Last week, they didn't need Tyler Boyd. So that in those games where we can see them just lean on their run game and that lead to success, then I think we have to fade Boyd. But in this matchup up against Baltimore, I think we're going to have to see Cincinnati throw the ball a little bit more. So I've got Tyler Boyd at 32 on the week. I think you can get away with him.
Yeah, you can get away with a lot of people this week, Gates. That's going to be kind of our definitely our motto for most of these guys. What about CJ Uzama? Can you get away with him?
No.
I agree. Very good. Just want to make sure. For Baltimore, of course, you're starting Lamar Jackson. You are starting Hollywood Brown, but I do want to ask, what do you see? Did you lower Hollywood Brown this week than where you otherwise would have because now Bateman was so impressive? And also, where do you have Bateman?
Yep. So I have Marquise Brown at 20 on the week. And I think that his ECR last time I checked was 16. So I'm fading him according to consensus there. So I've got Marquise Brown at 20 on the week. I still think he's a solid play. Still think that he has some upside in this matchup. And then Bateman, I have currently at 40 on the week. So I think that you definitely can look Bateman's way, especially as a high floor option. You know, we saw him come into the lineup immediately and get 6 targets. So they talked about easing him into the offense. And if 6 targets was easing him into the offense, then what's the potential here for Bateman? So, yeah, I think you can start Bateman this week.
Yeah, really impressive debut here for him. And again, I figured it's going to take a little time for him to get acclimated, considering that he didn't play basically at all in camp, and he's a rookie, and it's his first NFL game, and he looked fantastic, and he led the team in targets, so I love it. Mark Andrews, of course, you were starting. How about the running backs here, Yates? I assume right now that Latavius Murray is going to be ruled out. Okay, that's where I'm going. They have a bye next week. It just makes sense, and apparently he's got a high ankle sprain. Let's assume that he's out. Are you starting any Ravens running back?
Right now, with the word that we, you know, we don't know exactly what's happening with Latavius Murray. I've got Devontae Freeman at 32 on the week. But once we get word that Latavius Murray is out, I will move Devontae Freeman up to 25, probably in that range as a low end RB2. He's passed the eye test. Joe was talking about that on Monday. But there's always the possibility with Baltimore that it's Tyson Williams week. If, you know, Latavius Murray is going to be inactive, then we see Williams activated and that's suddenly his role. You know, I don't know exactly what's happening here. So I don't want to completely rely on Baltimore. I'm not going to move Devontae Freeman up to like 19, 18 in that mid-range RB2 range. I think that he is just a low-end RB2, high-end RB3.
Yeah, that is correct. I have horrible fears about the fact that we're going to see Tyson Williams step in here and get like 17 carries or something like that, just because I have no idea what's happening. But I it's fair that Devonta Freeman has looked good, very good when he's had the ball, at least in this last game. So I would be willing to roll with him if I absolutely had to, but I would probably close my eyes. All right, before we get to the next game, Yates, you know my usual deal, which is the days that Aaron works, which is in the middle of the week. I am responsible for the dog walks. And yesterday I took my dog, Bentley, for a walk. And when I get back, I'm a little shaky because I haven't had anything to eat. It's early in the morning. It's a long walk because otherwise he's kind of a bastard when he's not, you know, tired out. And I hadn't eaten anything yet. So I go and we have a house full of cereal. So I look in, I get the maple waffle from Magic Spoon, put in a little oat milk. I'm good to go. And I wound up having 5 bowls of cereal. Five bowls. That's gross, right? I mean, I told Aaron, you're married to a gluttonous mass unworthy of your level of fitness. She reminded me, though, that Magic Spoon, of course, is incredibly healthy. And then she suggested that we have ice cream for dinner, which, to be fair, is what she suggests every single day regardless. But if you have Magic Spoon cereal, particularly the maple waffle or the cookies and cream or the cocoa or the peanut butter, then you're going to feel a little bit like you're cheating, because stuff that tastes like that is not supposed to actually be affirmatively healthy for you. But it is 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs, 140 calories in each serving, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb. You can build your own box, by the way. Okay, all the flavors that they have, I just mentioned those. There's also fruity, frosted, blueberry, and cinnamon. Just go to magicspoon.com/fantasybros. Use our code FantasyBros at checkout to get $5 off your order. It is backed, by the way, by a happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they are going to refund your money. Again, magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Use our code FantasyPros at checkout to get $5 off your order. If you like cereal, if your kids like cereal, that's where you really need to go, I promise. Panthers visiting the Giants. Okay, this is going to be ugly, I think. Let's start with the running back, Yates. I assume, again, Saquon Barkley has not yet been ruled out. I'm just assuming he's going to be ruled out.
Yeah.
If he is, where do you have Devontae Booker ranked?
I have him at 18 on the week. He's kind of in this last tier of guys that I feel really confident in at least what the workload's going to be. Then we start to get into Mike Davis, Miles Sanders, Alex Collins, that kind of range where it's like, I just don't know what the volume's going to be. I don't know what the workload or what the output's going to be. With Devontae Booker, I at least know that he's going to get work. And especially too, when you have so many other injuries, I think he's going to see plenty of work in this one. So he's a mid-range RB2 for me.
You mentioned the injuries. Just pick a player on the Giants. And they are injured. Okay, I mean, look, I don't even know how we break down the wide receiving core.
I think you said all of them.
Honestly. The wide receiver that I'm at this moment most confident is going to play right now is actually Darius Slayton, because Sterling Shepard randomly pops up in the injury report on Thursday, and we have no idea. Kenny Galladay, I'm sure, is going to be out. Kadarius Toney is going to be out. So, let's assume Sterling Shepard plays, Yates. Let's assume the limited was just a limited, and he's fine, good to go. Are you benching Sterling Shepard as well?
I think you have to, because, I mean, if you play him, you're hoping that he plays the whole game. Like, and if he does, he might just be out there as like a, you know, just a target and catch it and fall down kind of guy, because I don't know what his athletic output's going to be. Man, I just don't. This is a weird game. I just want to avoid it if I can.
What if the report is this is just precautionary? Like, it's just precautionary for just want to give Sterling Shepard a day, like blah, 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 and he's good to go. Are you starting him then?
I would probably slide him in at that point as a low-end wide receiver 3, but man, I would feel pretty gross about it.
Last thing about the Giants, yeah, it's a promise. I'm assuming that Sterling Shepard is out and all the other guys are out, but Darius Slayton is in. So that's your one guy. By the way, Evan Ingram also limited in practice, so who knows if he's going to play. Darius Slayton is the last man standing, Yates, in a week where 6 teams are on bye. Are you starting Darius Slayton then?
Oh, if I do, I'm closing my eyes. You'd probably be just inside my top 40 wide receivers on the week, but that is a desperation play at best.
Yeah, it's for the Panthers. I'm going to need Chuba Hubbard to score roughly 700 fantasy points this week to justify the fact that I traded for him so I could bench Dearness Johnson. How high do you have Chuba Hubbard this week?
I've got him at 13 on the week.
No, that's way too low. Have him at 8 like I do.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
But you're starting him, of course. The way I see this game unfolding, and I've talked about this in many spots, is that I think the Panthers are going to dominate this game. I know the spread is only 3, makes me a little worried, but I do think that they're going to win this game. I think the Panthers know that giving Sam Darnold the entire reins to the offense is probably not their best bet when they have an opposing offense that probably is not going to be able to score many points, and they're just going to pound the rock here against a team that's 27th in DVOA against the rush. So I'm all in on Chuba Hubbard. DJ Moore, top 7 wide receiver for you?
Yep. Every single week, you just got to play him.
Are you starting Sam Darnold in this week?
Yeah, he's definitely in the top 15 for me. I have Sam Darnold. I've actually been flipping, so there's these 4 guys. I've got Derek Carr at 10, I've got Matt Ryan at 11, Tua Tagovailoa at 12, and then Sam Darnold at 13, and I keep flipping those guys throughout this entire week. Like, I just keep, okay, Sam Darnold at 11. Nope, wait, I'm going to move him back down. So currently I've got Darnold at 13. I think he's worth playing.
Yep, I agree. He's right there for me too. Robbie Anderson, Yates, are you?
Nope.
No, you're just, I mean, he's getting the targets now, Yates.
I know he is, but he's, what, a 37% catch rate on the season? Like, you cannot do that to yourself.
We're in MetLife Stadium, Yates. I mean,
no,
coming
do home. That.
No? All right, that's fine. To be clear, I have Anderson at 38. What's your actual number on him?
I have him, let me check. I've got Robbie Anderson at 42. So,
okay.
I mean,
we're right
I don't want to play Robbie Anderson, but I've got him at 42 because of the week and 6 teams on bye. So, yeah.
And this week, even people that you despise and you say, I want to start him under no circumstances, it's like a 50-50 shot. They're in your starting lineup just because that's what week 7 brings. Falcons visiting the Dolphins. You just mentioned it. So you feel comfortable starting Tua here as kind of a low-end QB1, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up against Atlanta, I think that you definitely have to consider him. He looked sharp last week. I know that it didn't lead to a victory for the Dolphins, but he looked sharp.
He
so I think that you definitely can look his way.
Does Jaylen Waddle build on his breakout game in London?
Absolutely. I have Jaylen Waddle at 19 on the week. I think that he belongs in your starting lineup. And honestly, if Devontae Parker plays, if Preston Williams plays, whoever comes back to the lineup, that's probably not going to move Waddle in my rankings. I'm probably going to have him in that range anyway.
Excellent. You cut off my next question, which I love. And we talked, Mike Gesicki is just kind of a guy that you start now, right?
Absolutely. I've got Gesicki currently at 5 on the week.
Please give me 7 minutes on your Myles Gaskin take, please, and what we do with him.
Okay, so I want to just drop Myles Gaskin. I'm like, outright, I just want to drop him to my waiver wire. With that being said, I have him at 30 on the week because who else are you going to play over him? Are you going to play Mark Ingram? Are you going to play, you know, Jamal Williams, Nyheim Hines? Like, that's just where we're at right now. So, I mean, it's Atlanta. There's the possibility that he comes through. And based on the pattern, this is a game where he's going to blow up, right? You know, he had a down performance 3 weeks ago, then big performance 2 weeks ago, down performance. We're in line for a big performance here for Myles Gaskin. No, I can't trust him.
Yeah, I hate it, but you're right. Can't trust him, but he is a startable flex for you. That's exactly how I feel. For the Falcons, again, same thing with the quarterback you mentioned here, that Matt Ryan is, you're fine with him as a low-end QB1, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Miami Dolphins defense, granted, that's been a large part due to Byron Jones and Xavier Howard being out, but I mean, they have been just terrible this year.
Even when they're in, they've been terrible somehow.
So I've got Matt Ryan at 11. I think he's definitely worth starting this week.
And we're starting, I mean, we talked about in the over-under, we're starting Cordarrelle Patterson with a bullet.
Of course.
At running back, right? How about Mike Davis, though? Yeah, it's a guy who, again, doesn't really impress you. You don't want to start, but you're probably definitely starting him this week, right?
I've got Mike Davis at 19.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm at 20. That's right.
Fine.
I mean,
fine.
This is where we are. It's fine. Everything's fine. My guess is, by the way, I don't want to get too, I was against the Jets, we're in London, but I do feel like the Atlanta offense, you know, it's a new system sort of that they were dealing with. I do feel like they're kind of at least starting to figure things out a little bit. Calvin Ridley's going to return here, Yates. How high do you have him?
I have Calvin Ridley currently at wide receiver 8 on the week. So, I mean, you got to start him.
Yep, I agree. And of course, you are starting Kyle Pitts top 5.
I've got him at 4.
Wonderful. So do I. Let's go to the Jets at the Patriots. You're starting Damian Harris, of course. Where do you have Jakobi Meyers ranked this week? And is this the week that he finally scores a touchdown?
Well, he scored a touchdown last week.
He did.
It got called back due to a holding. So, I've got Jakobi Meyers at 27 on the week. So, very, very safe floor. There's the potential that he finds the end zone here. We've been saying that for multiple weeks now. So, I just think Jakobi Meyers, safe floor, kind of in that same range of Tyler Boyd, where don't know what the scoring upside is, but I know that he's at least not going to crush my lineup. So that this week is very, very valuable. So Jakobi Meyers at 27.
This is like the Jacoby Myers week. Not in the he's going to score the touchdown, but in the, oh, this is a week where I'm really happy I have Jacoby Myers on my team, right? Because I'm just like, okay, you're there. I feel comfortable. You're going to get there. Hunter Henry, Yates, at this point, I mean, is he just locked in your lineup?
Yep, as a low-end tight end one.
Crazy, man. Crazy that this is where we are. It's very sad, of course, for Jonnu Smith.
Smith had more snaps last week than Hunter Henry, and he's just being used as a blocker.
They paid him that much to be a blocker. Makes no sense. I'm mad at you for making me buy into him. How about Ramondre Stevenson here in a week again where, you know, fantasy managers are just scrambling at running back?
Yeah, I've got him at 36 on the week, so he's definitely in consideration because once you get to, I've talked about Miles Gaskin at 30, like, they're all kind of in that same range. So, yeah, I think you can look Ramondre Stevenson's way. The part that I'm going to be watching closely in this one is, does Stevenson actually take over this receiving down work? He ran the most routes out of the backfield for the New England Patriots this past week. So I'm really interested to see what that looks like, because that could mean that Stevenson has flex value moving forward. If he doesn't get that work, then he is just purely a goal line vulture in the same vein of how we viewed Darrell Williams prior to CEH's injury, where he comes in on the 1 yard line and he's going to punch that in kind of like LeGarrette Blount. But outside of that, I don't see the upside for Stevenson unless he carves out this role as the pass catching back.
Yeah, and he was very impressive last week. You know, that wasn't just like a screen play, you know, it wasn't just like that last week. You know, he ran that beautiful sort of, you know, curl route that he had that they hit him perfectly. So, yeah, if he's going to factor into the passing game, that is glorious and makes it a lot easier to stomach rostering him rest of the season as higher than just an insurance policy. For the Jets, Yates, you mentioned Corey Davis, and I feel like, where did you say you had him in the low 30s?
Yeah, I've got Corey Davis currently at 34 on the week. Last time that these two teams played, he had 2 receptions for 8 yards. So
he did.
You really can't feel super comfortable with starting Corey Davis, but I mean, I still think that the target volume is going to be there. I just think that, you know, there's going to be the volume. The volume is going to be there. Whereas I think that Wilson's not going to throw 4 interceptions this week. I hope not. So I think it depends really on what you need. Davis, I think, brings a safe enough floor. But then you look at, all right, Hunter Renfrow behind him in my rankings. Am I going to play Renfrow over Corey Davis? Jarvis Landry, I had at 36. AJ Green, Rondale Moore, like Marquez Callaway, Bateman. Like, what? Who am I going to sit Corey Davis in favor of? That's kind of the question and the way that I'm viewing it.
Yeah, I'm a little more bullish on him just because I think he did have that terrible game against New England.
Oh, I thought you were going to be lower on him.
No, I'm a little higher on him. It's not rocket science as to why I am. I just think, like, it's very clear he was coming off week one where he scored the 2 touchdowns and he was clearly the only guy in that offense. And of course, that's what Bill Belichick is going to do. He's going to take away your number one option. But I think the Jets are at least a little more than that right now, given that just A, they've got a little further development from Zach Wilson and that he doesn't have to lock on to the one guy. Number two, you've got everybody healthy here with Jameson Crowder and Elijah Moore. Number three, Michael Carter has gotten more involved, double-digit touches now for a while. I don't think it's like we take Corey Davis out of this game and that's going to be like our primary philosophy at this point. It could be again. But to me, I think that there's a little more potential here, especially with the Jets having an extra week off a bye to sort of scheme around what they saw last time. So I'm a little more willing. I mean, you're still starting him. I'm starting him as, you know, for me, it's more like a borderline wide receiver 2. For you, it's more like a mid-range, wide receiver 3. But I think we're right there. How about Carter, though, here, Yates? I mean, he has gotten more involved. He's got few gives with a touchdown here. Where do you have him ranked this week?
I have Michael Carter at 27 on the week. So in that same range of AJ Dillon, JD McKissick currently, I could move Michael Carter up to 25. You know, I could see that happening. I had Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, D'Ernest Johnson all back to back to back at 22, 23, and 24. So if I move him up further than that, he's going to jump all the way to 21. So I think that Michael Carter definitely, the volume is going to be there. And it's kind of the same thing, the argument that I made for AJ Dillon. It's like, I at least know the volume. I don't know what the efficiency is going to be in this offense up against New England, but I at least feel comfortable that he's going to get work. Whereas with a lot of the other options at running back this week, I don't know that to be the case.
Yep. Anybody else in the Jets you want to start?
No.
That's the correct answer. Eagles at the Raiders. Again, Yates, we talked about it. I just kind of feel like this is going to be the Miles Sanders game, man. But where do you have him ranked right now?
I have him at 20.
Yeah, I'm at 17. So I'm a little higher than you. But either way, you're starting him this game. I just... I think this is going to be it, man, especially against the Raiders, so you can attack a little bit more on the ground. And Yates, as much as you despise Jalen Hurts from a fantasy perspective, you have him still as what, a mid-range QB1 this week?
Of course, yeah. Jalen Hurts at QB6 on the week for me. And
I look forward to a terrible first half, yep. Yates, where you message me and are like, ha-ha, victory lap, Jalen Hurts. And then
it's so frustrating because I literally am like, he's terrible. We can all see it, but I know that he's going to end the week as a QB1 just because he's Blake Bortles with mobility.
That's right. Evaluate him for fantasy purposes. Yeah, it's not real life. How about Devontae Smith here? Must start option for you?
He's got to be just based on how many teams are on bye. So I've got Devontae Smith at 21.
Yeah, I'm at 22. So we're right there. And Dallas Goedert off the COVID list. Assume he's going to play. No Zach Ertz. How high for you?
Well, it's interesting. He came off of the COVID list and then was a DNP yesterday.
Yeah.
So that's worth monitoring. But assuming that he does play, he's at tight end 7 for me.
Yeah, he's at 6 for me. I agree. Good to go for the Raiders. Again, Derek Carr was in that group, right? With Tua and Matt Ryan that you were going back and forth with?
QB 10.
Very good. How about the running backs here? Josh Jacobs, I assume Slotson is what, an RB2 for you?
I've got him as a RB1. I've got him at 12.
Ah, very good. Okay. I have him at RB14, but you're probably right. Okay, how about Kenyon Drake here off the big game?
You can get away with him, but I mean, I've got him at 39, even in a week where there are so many teams on bye. I've got him at 39. I'm not buying into the, you know, 2 touchdowns on 6 touches last week. So yeah, I'm not looking to play him, but he's a desperation play at best.
Yeah, I have him at 35. So I agree. Again, you can get away with him, but still last week did very little for me in terms of rest of season evaluation of Kenyon Drake. We mentioned the receivers. You've said Hunter Renfrow's name like 3 times on this podcast already. So Ruggs and Renfrow, where do you have him?
I have Henry Ruggs at 25 on the week, man. He's the 20 wide receiver 27 on the season. He's been putting up dominant numbers. And this is the team that we saw give up big play after big play to Tyreek Hill and speed over the top. So I think Ruggs is in line for a massive performance here. I'm starting him everywhere that I've got him. And then Hunter Renfrow at 35. Brian Edwards still a little bit further down, just not seeing the volume.
Yeah, I agree. I basically have the guys there as well. And I am just really hopeful that we can get the Darren Waller huge target game so that people can stop telling me that they are really, really mad at Darren Waller and frustrated at him.
He's been one of the most consistent tight ends. I will easily take that.
I'm just like, I will take him any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Lions visiting the Rams. Okay. let's start with DeAndre Swift, of course, who you are starting I'm at RB7 Yates coming into the week. What about you?
I'm a little bit lower, but not by much. I've got him at 8.
Okay, very good. Are you starting Jamal Williams this week?
No, I am not. I have Jamal Williams at 34 on the week. The volume is just not there. He saw 9 targets in week 1 and since then has seen 9 total targets in the 5 games since. So you just can't, if he's not getting that receiving work, then he's the predominant ball carrier on the ground for a team that has yet to play a single offensive snap with a lead this season. So, man, it's terrible. So Jamal Williams in this matchup too, I mean, Los Angeles is going to go up big. So Jamal Williams could be a non-factor. I'm sitting him if I've got him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have him there as well. Again, you may be forced to play him this week
because
that's where you are. But yeah, his snaps, his touches, everything is trending in the wrong direction. TJ Hockenson, a must start. How about Amon-Ra St. Brown for you, Yates?
I have him currently at, I believe, 41. So he is just outside of that start consideration for me. But when you're looking at options like, you know, Robbie Anderson, I've got at 42. You know, I feel comfortable with Amon-Ra St. Brown and his target volume and the fact that he's a fine flex in full PPR format. So I think you can start him this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's not pretty. He's probably going to get Ramsey'd, you know, even in the slot, because Ramsey will travel to the slot. Mm-hmm. But I have him right there as well. That's just where we are. So you can start him if you need to. But obviously, of course, as you probably have been, if you are starting him, you need to temper your expectations. You do not need to temper your expectations for anybody on the Rams. Cooper Kupp, of course, is a top 5 guy.
Yep.
What about Robert Woods? Where do you have him this week?
I have him at 15, just based on the matchup. There is the potential that we see, I mean, kind of like last week where we see the Rams go up big at halftime and then they really don't need Robert Woods a ton. He saved his day with that touchdown. But so there's the potential for that here in this one. But just based on the matchup, I mean, you got to play Robert Woods this week.
And Daryl Henderson, top 5 yet?
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
And you mentioned on the Start Sit show when you were talking about guys who are kind of, you know, down the rankings, so you could see having a decent day. You mentioned Sony Michel, and I liked sort of what you said. So, I mean, in a pinch, can you get away with starting him?
Yeah, I've got him at 33. So he's outside of like the criteria there where on our YouTube channel, he's going to show up as a sit, but he's a sneaky play for desperate fantasy managers right now. Because again, I talk about the projected game script. The last time I checked, they were 15 point favorites here over the Lions. So if that is the case, then you're going to get into the third, fourth quarter here, and you're going to see Daryl Henderson move to the bench just because you don't need to continue to give Henderson touches in a game where you are winning by a large margin. So I think Sony Michel could easily see 10 carries in this one. And based on the matchup, that could easily turn into 50 yards and potentially a score, you know? So I think Sony Michel, a sneaky play this week. I've got him at 33, and I think his ECR is way down the board.
Yeah.
But he's someone that's a risk, right? It's a risky play because you have to have the game script play out. But Jared Goff going up against the coach who knows his weaknesses better than anyone else on the planet, I'm not expecting the Lions to do a ton here.
I think that's a fair point right there. Stafford is an obvious excellent start this week. What about Tyler Higbee? Yeah, it's really just, you know, there are games where he doesn't get targets, but even when he does, he really has not, you know, it's so much Cooper Kupp at this point that I don't know how much room there is for everybody else. So how do you feel about Higbee this week?
I've got Higbee at 8. I mean, it's the matchup, man. You got to play Tyler Higbee because there's the scoring opportunities here. Where are you going to turn to? You're going to go to Hunter Henry over him, Zach Ertz. And then once we get outside the top 12, man, I've got Ross Dwelly at 13. In my tight end ranking. So it's like, am I going to really play Ross Dwelly or Mo Alie-Cox over Tyler Higbee? No, I'm just going to play Tyler Higbee.
Would you start Higbee or Ricky Seals-Jones if you had them both?
I have Higbee currently at 8. I have RSJ at 10.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the Bears at the Bucks. So I guess break down the running backs here for me, Yates. We don't know whether or not Damien Williams is going to play. Break it down if he does play, break it down if he doesn't play.
So Damien Williams currently still on the COVID list. Can't be cleared until Saturday was the last report that I saw because he was unvaccinated. So we don't exactly know what his, I mean, even if he does play, like what's his workload going to be? He hasn't practiced for 2 weeks now, you know? So if Damien Williams plays, I think both of these guys are kind of mid-range RB3s at best, you know, like Khalil Herbert and Damien Williams, where they're going to split the workload in a terrible matchup. I don't know if Chicago is going to even try to run the ball. So I'm not expecting a ton here from both of these running backs. If Damien Williams sits, Khalil Herbert moves into a high-end RB3 just simply based on volume. But the matchup, again, is terrible. So he's going to be the sole option there. You'll probably see 10 to 12 touches. That's kind of what I'm banking on here. So Khalil Herbert could be in start consideration if Damien Williams sits. Otherwise, I think there are better options.
I think nothing encapsulates this week better than the fact that I have both Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson as pretty solid wide receiver threes this week, Yates, and I'm just starting both of them. You agree?
Yep. I've got Darnell Mooney currently at 25 on the week, or 24, excuse me, and then Allen Robinson at 28.
Yeah, I have Mooney at 28 and Robinson at 29, and this is just where we are. How about Cole Kmet here? Any interest?
He is in the streaming consideration. I've got him at 16 on the week. So again, I talked about it. It's like Ross Dwelly, Mo Alie-Cox, OJ Howard, assuming Rob Gronkowski doesn't play, and then Cole Kmet, you know. So he is definitely in that conversation where we're starting to see the pass volume tick up here for Chicago, and it's a very narrow receiving tree. It's Robinson, it's Mooney, and it's Kmet. So he could easily see 6 targets in this one, and that has value this week.
All right. For the Bucks, again, Antonio Brown, even though they're coming off the mini bye, he has missed the last 2 days of practice with an ankle injury. Sounds like you said you're not expecting him to play at this point.
At this point, I obviously don't know.
All right. So just very quickly, the Bucks wide receivers, if Brown plays, the Bucks wide receivers, if Brown does not play.
So it's funny because when I was writing up the primer this week, I just kind of, from a gut feeling, was just like, all these guys are, you know, low end wide receiver twos this week. AB would probably be the highest for me. And then I get to my rankings and I take a look just to confirm that. Oh, I have all these guys as high end wide receiver 2, low end wide receiver 1s, just based on, you know, how many teams are on bye. So Mike Evans currently at 11 on the week, Chris Godwin at 12 for me. And then Antonio Brown is currently at 14. If he misses this week, I'd probably just keep Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at that spot anyway, because that is a very aggressive ranking anyway. And then Antonio Brown would move down. If he plays, probably a low-end wide receiver 2 at best. I don't know what his workload is going to be.
Yeah, right now I have Evans 12, Brown 13, Godwin 14, which is just basically weird, but that's kind of what you do with the guys. How high is Leonard Fournette for you, Yates?
Leonard Fournette is currently at running back, where did I have him? Running back 9. I think he's a rock solid play this week.
Yeah, I really do think I told myself I would never do it, but I have completely now trusting a Bucks running back, and he is six for me. So I am there, of course, Tom Brady. And again, you mentioned it. I assume Rob Gronkowski is going to miss this game.
Right.
Are you starting OJ Howard?
I think you can, based on what we saw this past week. I think that he is definitely at least worth taking the shot on. Whereas, again, in the territory of Mo Alie-Cox and Ross Dwelly, like, I think you can look at OJ Howard. I've got him at tight end 15.
Let's just put a pin on Tom Brady, just in case people haven't. Would you start Tom Brady or Jalen Hurts this week?
Oh, that's close. I have Brady at 4. I have Hurts at 6.
How about Brady or Matthew Stafford?
I have Brady at 4. I have Stafford at 5.
Okay. All right. Very good. Texans are at the Cardinals. Usual deal for the... Well, I guess... No, not this week, I guess. For the Texans, let's start with Brandon Cooks. You're starting him, I assume, in this matchup.
Yep, of course.
Okay. And where are you starting in a week? Again, where everybody's on bye. Are you starting Mark Ingram?
He is at 31 for me. So he's in that territory of Myles Gaskin, Devontae Freeman. These guys at the 27 to 32, 33 range, they'll move around. They'll shuffle. Yep. So they could easily move into that start consideration for me. So Mark Ingram, I mean, volume. They're going to be committed to the run game. Even when they're down by a ton in the fourth quarter, they're going to give Mark Ingram carries. And that has value for fantasy. So, yeah, Mark Ingram, you can start him if you need to.
You said you have him at 31. That's exactly where I have him, because it's weird. But in this week, you can definitely do it. For the Cardinals, Yates, you can only start, under my rules, one Cardinal running back. Who is it this week?
Oh, I'll go James Conner. I have Conner at 16. I think the game script favors him more. They are currently, or they were the last time I checked, 17.5-point favorites over the Houston Texans. And I would probably still take the Arizona side of that. this game script just screams that it's a James Conner week. So I think Chase Edmonds still kind of battling that injury. I don't know what his workload's going to be. I don't think they're going to need him a ton. So again, you can still start Chase Edmonds. I've got him at 17, but I've got James Conner at 16. I think this is a upside game for Conner.
Yeah, I agree. I do have Conner a couple spots ahead. I also have Conner at 16. I have Edmonds at 19, but whatever, we're right there. Of course, you're starting DeAndre Hopkins. Are you starting any other Cardinal wide receiver?
I honestly think all three of the other guys are worth starting. Like DeAndre Hopkins, you're starting. This is a revenge game. I think that this is so much. This is going to be so much fun. I think he's going to send a message. So Hopkins at 4 for me. But then with the other guys, I mean, Christian Kirk at 31 for me. Jarvis Landry, AJ Green at 37, Rondale Moore at 38. Like, it just comes down to which one is going to find the touchdown, which one's going to get the touchdown or touchdowns, right? Like, there's the potential, obviously, with this high of a spread that we see multiple wide receivers score touchdowns here. So Christian Kirk at 31, AJ Green at 37, Rondale Moore at 38. They all have the potential to fall flat because the workload goes somewhere else, but they're all, I mean, the upside is there for all three of them.
How about Zach Ertz here in his new team?
Honestly, any other week in a tougher matchup, I would probably be fading Zach Ertz, but I've got him at 12. You know, it's the matchup up against Houston. Like, you start opposing tight ends, and I think that, again, the high implied point total here, the points are going to go up on the board for Arizona. So Zach Ertz at tight end 12 for me.
Yes, that's exactly where it is for me as well. Colts visiting the 49ers. Of course, Jonathan Taylor is a must-start option. It sounds like last I heard, Yates, that T.Y. Hilton is 50-50 for this game, and it's a Sunday night game, so we probably won't know. I personally think that he is going to sit in this one. So, yeah, all right. So that's how you're ranking it. That's fine. So where do you have Michael Pittman Jr. then?
I have him at 18 on the week.
Okay. That's fine. What if Hilton does play in this game? Does it matter to you?
It really doesn't. You know, people are starting to like have the conversation. Is Pittman no longer the Colts wide receiver one? And it's like T.Y. Hilton had 4 targets last week and Pittman had 3. So like, it's not like this was a drastic, you know, difference as far as target share. Carson Wentz only threw the ball 20 times last week. So I'm not thinking that and taking what happened last week as, you know, as gold moving forward, as truth moving forward. So Pittman, I've got him at 18 on the week. Hilton, if he does play, I'd probably move Pittman down to what, 21, like 20. I'd probably still play him over Marquise Brown, Devontae Smith.
Anybody else in the Colts who you want to start in this game?
Again, I talked about him, Mo Alie-Cox. You can start him, but I mean, last week he had 3 targets, he had the touchdown, he ran 9 routes. So if you do start him, he is a touchdown or bust option.
Yep, I agree. For the 49ers, Elijah Mitchell, where he'd end up in your rankings?
Elijah Mitchell is a mid-range RB2 for me.
Yep. Yeah, people are you know, I don't know. They seem still hesitant. I don't really think you need to be at this point. I mean, we know what this is when he's in there. You're starting Deebo Samuel with a bullet. Yep. I mean, even in this week.
Don't do it.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk is who we are referring to right now. You're just off completely.
Yes. He should Very be. Good. I mean, he is a desperation play. If you are playing him, you are picking him up off of the waiver wire because that's where he should have been. Going back to Elijah Mitchell, I have a lot of faith in him this week because Trey Lance isn't the starting quarterback, right? Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the guy, and that opens up the rushing volume, right? The rushing attempts, whereas Trey Lance had, what, 16 in the game that he played, and Mitchell had only 9. And this is, you know, coming off their bye, he's had a chance to get healthy. I think that he's going to see work. So Elijah Mitchell at 15 for me.
Yeah, I'm at 13. I mean, this is a very, very easy start for me without question in this one. And you mentioned Yates, Rostwelly, 13. Is that what you said for you?
Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, our ECR currently had Rostwelly at like 18 or 19 last time I checked. 18. So, I mean, when you look at the other options, it's Evan Engram, it's CJ Uzama, Robert Tonyan is still in this range for some reason, Cole Kmet, like, you know, where's the target volume has to go somewhere in this offense. We know that it's not going to Brandon Ayuk, and with George Kittle on IR, then Rostwelly is a solid play this week, and he's available on waivers everywhere. So if you're in a pinch, I would be looking at Rostwelly.
Okay, Saints at the Seahawks. Again, as we record this, we really don't know what's going on with the running back situation. I'm not expecting Collins to go here, Yates, but again, this is a Monday night game. I don't know how you're supposed to get by with this. So I guess let's start. Let's say Collins gets into practice today. Tell me where you would have Collins ranked.
I would have Collins at 21, in the same range as the guys that played last night, where you're just hoping for volume. That's kind of what we're hoping here for Alex Collins. So I've got him at 21 currently on the week. I think he did return to practice yesterday off the top of my head. So
did he?
I think
I'm sorry
so.
If I missed
I
that.
I think
then.
So.
Okay.
I'll look that up in a second. So yeah, I'm optimistic that he suits up here, but you also have to take into account that Rashad Penny's most likely coming back for this week too. So we just don't know what the volume's going to look like. I think it goes to Alex Collins.
Yeah, I agree. If he plays, it's still a guy who I'm trying to get away from if I can. I probably can't in this sort of week because he's not going to be 100%. And I think, you know, I think Andrew talked about it on the Start Sit Show, which is Collins is showing that, like, there's a reason he doesn't get this workload. There's a reason that, he doesn't get this workload in his careers because he really isn't built to, you know, hang up. So, for me, in a terrible matchup with the Saints, with him battling the injury, I would try to avoid him if I absolutely could. Did you find out if he practice?
So this is what happened. This is like vintage Pete Carroll. So Pete Carroll saw or said that Alex Collins would practice and then he didn't. So I saw the alert that said he would practice and then he didn't practice, which is like perfect Pete Carroll. Sums up Pete Carroll.
Perfectly. Everybody's going to play and be wonderful and be the perfect person that they can be. Okay, let's assume Collins doesn't play. Yates, I mean, are you going to start Rashad Penny?
I don't want to, but I think you have to. I'd probably put him at 25 just based on volume.
I don't think I would. I think I'd have him lower is my guess.
It's a tough matchup, man. It's a very tough matchup.
And you think he's going to walk into, like, you know, 18 touches?
Where else is the ball going to go?
I don't know, man. Not Geno Smith. Let's hope that. All right. So DK Metcalf, you mentioned 13, I believe you said for him, right? Yep. That's fine. How about Tyler Lockett?
I've got him at 30. Don't want to play.
Yeah, man.
But yeah.
This is just bad. Just bad
I
for
hate this week.
I know. This is terrible right now. I have a lock a little higher than you, but whatever. Okay. Anybody else? Gerald Everett? Anything like that?
No. Not in consideration for me. Not seeing enough targets.
For the Saints, of course, you're starting Alvin Kamara. What about Marcus Callaway here?
So Callaway, I currently have at 39 on the week. The interesting part here is Traquan Smith was designated to return from IR, and he did practice yesterday. So there's the potential that he plays here on Monday night. If that is the case where Traquan Smith plays, I think Marquez Callaway, I'm not going anywhere near him just because I don't know where the ball is going to go in this offense. I don't know if Traquan Smith's suddenly going to be the guy that gets 8 targets and Callaway goes back to seeing 2. Like, I don't know. It's a fantastic matchup. I would love to play one of the wide receivers here, but I just can't.
Anybody else in the Saints Yates?
No.
That's the correct answer.
Jameis is a streamer.
Jameis. Come on, we're already talking about.
You gonna play Daniel Jones over him?
Will I play Daniel Jones over him?
Justin Fields, Carson Wentz, Taylor Heineke.
Fine, that's fine if that's where we are. But I mean, I'll play Tua or Matt Ryan.
Of course, but I've got Jameis Winston at 15. So
all right, That's fair. That's fair then. Okay, fine. Fine. Sorry. Sorry. That's fair, but I still hate your rankings. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you to Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Thanks also to Magic Spoon. It is delicious. It is healthy. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Use our code FantasyPros at checkout. You get $5 off your order. Have a great weekend, everybody. I will talk to you again on Sunday night.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.